It's the Congressional Corner with Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, one of my favorite people. Elizabeth, welcome back to the channel. So glad you're here.
Great to be with you.
There are many issues, of course, for us to discuss, and you have announced that you won't seek re-election. You've been a terrific congresswoman, in my estimation. I've always enjoyed talking to you. Is this going to cause separation anxieties for you from the House?
Well, I have loved doing this job, and if 10 years ago anybody had told me I would get a chance to serve 6 years in Congress, I would have been thrilled, and I've got, 7.5 months to go, and frankly, a lot of things moving right now. So, there are a lot of ways to serve. I never expected to do elected office at all, much less Congress. So, I certainly will be looking for other ways to continue to make a difference. And, we're in an interesting time in the nation's history. No lack of opportunities.
So, tell me what some of the things that are moving along are.
Sure. Well, this week, while you and I are talking, is Infrastructure Week. And as I think you know, I'm vice-ranking member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and I'm co-lead of a bipartisan working group on infrastructure. So we've got big legislation coming up in the infrastructure area, the Water Resources Bill, the so-called WERDA Bill. And if you look at what happened in Flint, Michigan, there's a lot of interest in making sure that we have better policies and are really investing in having clean, safe drinking water for America, that we are taking care of our inland waterways, lots of important issues, and frankly, looking at how to mitigate storm surge and things like that. So I was actually in some meetings just this morning with folks in the infrastructure stakeholder community, ready-made concrete and sand and gravel, and the Army Corps of Engineers and others who are planning for, frankly, greater resilience. And you can call it climate change or you can call it something else, but we do know that we're experiencing much more severe storms, and we need to make sure the nation's infrastructure is prepared to deal with that.
So, Elizabeth Esty, I guess the question I would ask you is, as we speak, we have heard a story about a report coming out which would have talked about some of the dangers of what's in our water and it being recused. In other words, held back from the press, somebody got a hold of it. Does this bother you?
It sure does. I have to say I've been pretty frustrated on the Science Committee, which I also serve on, that in over a year that Scott Pruitt has been EPA administrator, he has not come before our committee. There are a lot of really important issues and concern about purging of scientists off of advisory committees, a replacement by industry representatives, a whole lot of issues that are in the jurisdiction of EPA that we remain very concerned. So I've written to a group of us, have written to the chairman of the committee as well as to the administrator about the need for him to appear in front of the committee because there are some really important concerns that need to be addressed. And yes, I am concerned, highly concerned about torquing of the science, withholding of the information, the data, the facts, as it were. Alan, I'm a big believer in facts. Good facts make for good policy, and we need to have good facts.
Our Judith Ink, who appears on our air all the time, used to be the Region 2 administrator, says that Scott Pruitt is basically the worst we've ever had in that job. You agree with that?
Well, he's certainly not. He's near the top of the list of those who I think do not share the mission of EPA as a general matter. And I think that's deeply concerning. You need to have people heading agencies who believe in the mission of the agency. When he was at the state level, he sued EPA over and over and over again. And I just don't think that he has the commitment to, in his role, what's supposed to be the role of EPA, which is to be a guardian of the environment. And that can and should be done in economically responsible ways. But many administrators from both parties have done that, Democrats and Republicans. And unfortunately, he has not conducted himself in a way that I think shows respect for the office or respect for the environment. And that has to do with everything from his own, personal travel and choices about spending taxpayer money in his offices and for his, the way in which he conducts business. But also, and more importantly, the actual policies And Congress votes on a lot of this legislation, and he's gone a long direction towards trying to undo a lot of those congressional policies and policies of the country. And I don't think that that's the responsible way to go about that. And among other things, he should be appearing before the committees of jurisdiction to answer questions that we have about the priorities and the conduct and the decision making that he's engaged in.
I didn't want to talk about this first, but we do know there was a bit of a kerfuffle in your office having to do with the sexual harassment and not moving fast enough. And I wondered if you'd sort of give us your personal reaction to all of that.
Well, I've learned a lot over the course of this, and among other things, it's part of what I'm really working on in my remaining time in Congress is to help provide better guidance in Congress, and that's both law and policy, but also culture. The issue that occurred in my office was really a domestic situation. We have no guidance. We still don't in Congress have any guidance on how to handle domestic situations. And I think there's a lot to be learned from the corporate sector. So I'm working with other members of Congress to try to bring in best practices on dealing with domestic situations and how employers should deal with domestic situations, which is actually what happened in my situation, which then, through investigating that, discovered that there had been issues in the workplace. But the bottom line, and this is for all employers, you have to figure out, and this is a huge challenge for elected officials, how do you make sure that bad news makes its way to the top? I thought I'd created a climate in which that would happen. Clearly, that didn't happen. People weren't willing to bring forward the bad news so I could put a stop to it at a time when it would have been better. And so I'm committed to trying to figure out ways to do that. You know, how can Congress do a better job? And how can we all do a better job? And that's both employers and leaders, but also bystander issue, people who are aware of problems. How do we ensure that people know what to do, who to go to? Make sure, frankly, we don't even have an HR department in Congress. We don't even have HR lawyers we can really go to. And all of those things need to change.
Now, personally, because I didn't quite understand it, you say a domestic issue. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, my chief of staff had been involved with someone, and there was a domestic threat outside of the workplace.
Oh, I see.
That's what I learned about 2 years ago. And we just don't have good guidance for what to do with that. There were no complaints ever filed with House of Representatives. Nothing was ever brought directly to me. And that left me badly positioned to deal with it. So I want to make sure other congressional offices, other members of Congress, and other staffers going forward know what to do when concerns get raised.
It does seem extraordinary that in a time of Trump, when the president of the United States has been accused by so many women and their lawsuits and everything else, everybody seems to be pointing fingers at everybody else, but him, he doesn't seem to be paying any price for any of this.
Well, there's definitely some truth to that. But I'll tell you some things I've learned in politics. Timing is incredibly important. And I've been incredibly lucky in my life in many ways. And I intend to use my remaining time in Congress to be effective for the 5th District of Connecticut and to take the learning of, you know, what I wish I would have had done differently. I wish I knew then, and change things so that, you know, democracy should be about changing things for the better. And so, we should learn from things that don't go well and not run away from them and not deny them and not stonewall, but rather take responsibility and figure out how to change them for the better. And I can assure you that everyone involved with what happened in this domestic incident, as well as what had happened, I later learned, in the workplace, would have wanted none of it to have ever happened in the first place. And that ought to be our goal, to change the culture so we have respect for everyone in the workplace, that people feel supported and respected, and you don't have sexual harassment, you don't have disrespect for people because of their religion or their race or their background in any way. And that's a kind of inclusive workforce and inclusive in culture that all workplaces should have. And above all, ought to be in Congress, where we're bringing young people from all over the country to work for the benefit of the country.
Well, personally, I have great regret that you are leaving Congress, and I'm sorry to see it because I think you've given a great deal to all of us, and I thank you so much for your service and what you've done. When we come back, we'll have some more things of substance to talk over the next couple of days.
Great, thanks.